All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Myself and Bob Griswold are going to have a general conversation on some of the news that's going on right now. I think we might get into Maui. Prigazin, the head of Wagner Group, may be pronounced dead here soon, being involved in a plane crash outside of Moscow that killed everyone on board.
How convenient.
But what we wanted to talk about, just a little off topic, not to highlight what's going on in Maui, because Bob, we do need to address that. But we wanted to talk about World War II and the American response to the war compared to current day America and our response to World War III and the projection of the military, not just the projection of military, but the advancements of the military and how these things are significantly changed. So, Bob, originally we were talking about fleet warfare, naval fleet, mm-hmm. which out in the Pacific was, you know, that was the big thing, was you had the submarines, you had the battleships, the destroyers, and then eventually you had the evolution of the aircraft carrier. And what you and I were saying was that we caught on late to what the Japanese were already doing with the aircraft carrier, with the kamikaze attacks, the superiority of the Air Force versus ours. They had superior war fighting planes as well. And how, you know, war advances the need of technology. But it took us a while to respond. But when we did respond, the thing that was so unique, and this is where you and I could pick this conversation up on, is that the military industrial complex actually told Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon to stand down, and they took over the production of all the military weapons and accoutrements to go with them and mass produced quantity and quality in a way that really helped us to win the war. And we can't do that again. We could never replicate that kind of war and the production of the war fighting needs for a World War III.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, in World War II, the beginning of World War II, there was not a plane in existence that could fly transatlantic as far as a bomber was concerned and deliver it. And remember, in the Doolittle raid, they had to put B-25s on aircraft carriers and bring them close to the coast of Japan to accomplish that raid. And they didn't get them close enough because they were spotted. And so the planes had to take off early. And instead of landing in China, you know, friendly China, where the Japanese are not taken over, they landed in hostile China. And, you know, a lot of them were taken prisoner. A few were executed. James Doolittle got away and came back to the United States. But there was no bomber in existence that could do that. And so technology limited that war. And the naval commanders of the time thought the Capital battleship, you know, we had 14-inch guns on our Capital battleships. They thought that was the premier weapon of war. Well, the Japanese showed that to be an errant by coming into Pearl Harbor and sinking all the battleships, you know, in just a few short hours. We weren't ready for it. We had not evolved our military thinking past the battleship. And today, my concern is the same thing. We have not evolved our thinking past the aircraft carrier. Aircraft carriers are slow. They are massive. And with hypersonic weapons, hydrocavitating torpedoes, I just wonder, you know, the degree at which they will be vulnerable. I personally don't think, and there's a lot of other naval strategists, and I'm not a naval strategist, I'm just a reader, that don't even think we could put those weapons in the theater of war, that they would be destroyed. They would have to be standoff weapons, if at all, and any jets that we did send would have to be refueled midair to approach a target, which is logistically very much more difficult because you have to get a slow-moving, you know, tanker somewhere in the theater where they could be shot down. And if they're shot down and the jet doesn't have enough fuel to get back, then the pilot and, you know, your $50 million airplane, or if, you know, others are more expensive, are just, you know, lead weights in the ocean. They just sink. And in World War II, we had an immense industrial capability. We produced all the weapons of war here. And once we geared up, it took from, you know, 1941 to, oh, late 42 for it to gear up and start producing the weapons of war. We produced just far outproduced the Germans and the Japanese all together, so that we overwhelmed them. Well, today, the production capability lies with Japan. We don't make the microchips here that run everything today. They're made in Taiwan. So we basically can't make anything without those microchips, because everything has a microchip in it. Anything of substance, a missile, a plane, a ship.
Guided missile.
Yeah. Even a dumb bomb, when they put a JDAM, one of those JDAM things on it, it still needs microchips to guide the laser beam down. So, you know, we are at an extreme disadvantage right now. And I mean extreme. We have spent through our arsenal in Ukraine, just $140 billion spent through it in Ukraine. We've depleted, or not completely depleted, but severely reduced the inventory of missiles, bombs, and you know, bullets and so forth that we have. So, and on top of it, the biggest threat we have a moron in the White House. You know, we'll get to maybe Maui later on, but all you had to do is look what his performance in Maui, which was, I mean, the most despicable, shameful thing I can even recall ever. I don't think any president or any person in leadership it was that despicable to joke about his Corvette, to make jokes to people who had just lost everything. They're crying over there. Where are the children? There's hundreds of children missing. Now, a couple things could have happened, but you know, that's for later on in the program. But going back to the World War II scenario, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, you know, a large part of the United States was isolationist. Remember, Henry Ford was isolationist. That changed overnight. We had people down at the draft boards just signing up left and right. And today we have such a divisive America. I mean, half of America hates America. And we can't even get the manpower today, or sorry, people power, forgive me, to meet the requirements.
Amphibian power.
Yeah, amphibian power. We can't even get to a quarantine. In fact, I was watching a Marine Corps training film where the things where they use with the sticks with the big balls on the end, and they hit each other with them. Pugel sticks. And you know, they were trying to show the similarity. So there's a woman and this guy, and they were gonna do it together, and he just went in there and just in a second, she was just a knocked out cold on the ground.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've seen that. And then, you know, they had he's probably reprimanded for it, for being aggressive. But
probably, in all honesty, probably not. No. But, you know, I'll say this. Men and women cannot fight each other equally. That's why there's never been a woman who went to fight in the men's division of UFC. But yet there have been men who went down to the women's division and wrecked shop. Destroyed women.
That trans weightlifter that just went in cold turkey into a woman's weightlifting, and he blew all the records away.
I could do that right now.
Yeah, of course you could.
I could do that. I could go. You know, I've actually had a friend belong to a little powerlifting group, and we all joked about, in all of our various weight classes, any one of us could say, I'm going to, you know, all you got to do is videotape it, put it on Twitter or YouTube or whatever. I'm going to take all the personal records of the best lifts of squat, deadlift, and bench press for the women, for the weight class, and blow all of them out of the water. And almost, not an elite lifter, but almost just an average to intermediate power lifter in the men's division could do that. And that's not being disparaging or, you know, demeaning to women. We're just built differently.
God made the sexes for reasons. And he didn't make women to be brutal men. He didn't make women to have massive biceps.
I think this whole transgender thing, it takes away from the amazing achievements athletically that women not only fought for that right to have that, but the achievements that they can make for their own selves, and you know, the competition amongst the women, just like the competition amongst the men, and it's just being destroyed. That is the New World Order, you know, idea. I know we drifted away real quick, but I want to share this. We're talking about the projection of American military. Okay. The projection of American military. So get this. In World War II, we had more than 6,000 commissioned vessels. Before World War II, we had 700 commissioned vessels, naval ships. By the end, we had 6,000 and counting, 6,000 and counting in just a matter of years.
When we went to Okinawa, we had 15 capital aircraft carriers.
We started
the war with three and 15, and they were the new Essex class. So they could handle more ships. They could get more sorties going. They were just far superior than the Enterprise class aircraft carrier. So, I mean, and then if you've seen a picture of the naval fleet at Okinawa, it is massive, 1,000 ships there. I mean, and so, you know, that we don't have that anymore. We don't have that capability.
Hear this. The United States Navy has approximately 475 ships in both active service and reserve. Actively, we have 243 ships. The rest are in naval inventory. Approximately 50 ships are proposed or scheduled for retirement by 2026, while approximately 90 new ships are in either the planning phase and ordering stages or are under construction. So if we went into war tomorrow, we have 475 vessels. And then you take frigates, tankers, whatever you can stick a rocket launcher or large machine gun on, right? And China vastly overwhelms our fleet number by number at this point.
Yeah, they're building two ships to one to us. And see, that's what won World War II. No, I'm not taking away anything from the fighting men of World War II. I'm not taking away anything from the pilots or any of that. But what won World War II was our industrial capability. I mean, you know, our production of tanks was 10 to 1. Aircraft, I mean, it was like 15 to 1. So
well, now, with the production of tanks and tank factories, we had General Motors and Chrysler. Those were the only two who were making them. But they had multiple factories, and now we only have one factory, and that's the Lima plant. That's the Joint Systems Manufacturing Center, and that's it. And so I've been working on a 90-page recording that is from the 1950s to 60s time frame. And it was written by the Pentagon and the CIA, and it was talking about how Russia could project themselves with their advanced aircraft that was more advanced than ours at that point in time, and how they had found the bombing runs and had mathematically plotted out all the bombing runs that they needed to wipe out, guess what, the industrial complex of America. And they had interrogated people. They had went through this whole process. I'm almost done completing. It's taken me months to record and edit. But they wanted a projection of how things looked. And not only that, but every couple of years you had an advancement in jets. So with the advancement in jets, well, then the reach of the Russians became further and further into America. And they plotted out and mapped out how easily it could have been done then. You turn the lights off in America. You turn the lights off in America with a systematic cyber attack. And we go back to pre-1930s America, where only the big cities had lights and a few other cities, you know, across America had lights. And then you do not have a pre-warning system anymore from NORAD. You don't have any of this crap anymore that can help defend us. And then you start targeting the one tank center that we have in America, which is in Ohio, which is right within the flight path, the arcing flight path that was documented in the 50s. So what I'm saying is, if America got into a war, into another world war, let's not say if, let's say when, Bob, when America gets into the next third world war, we cannot replicate our response to World War II in this current state. Not only are the fighting men different, the vessels, the vehicles, the weaponry are all so advanced now that they are now sensitive to electronic warfare, right? We are selling our own natural gas, our own oil. A lot of our steel comes from China. All of our electrical systems now are coming from China. Our medical supplies, which the military needs, comes from China as well.
Comes from China.
Yeah. If you cut just those three things, the steel, the medical supplies, and the microchips, you've cut the Achilles heel of the American military, and then you attack the Achilles heel of America, which is the power system. And America is effectively dead in the water with a limited response.
Well, something similar happened to Germany in World War II is when the Allies went after the Caspian oil fields. That's where Germany got the majority of its oil from. And they went in that. It was a huge, huge plant. And in fact, it was one of the most costly bombing runs we ever did during World War II. But they went in there and they were successful and blew up the ability for the Germans to do that. And they cut the oil supply out of the Caspian Sea area dramatically. And so once that happened, it was, you don't have any grease. You don't have oil. You don't have gasoline. You don't have diesel fuel. You don't have aviation gasoline. And that all went away. And, that's why during the Battle of the Bulge, they ran out of gas. They didn't have it. They ran out of gas. That's why they were trying to acquire the Allies, that big fuel depot that we had. They needed the gas to keep the war machine running. Well, that if you put that and juxtapose it onto the 2020s, you have to realize that, fuel is important. And that's why Joe Biden has cut our ability to make fuel dramatically. I mean, we're importing it. So instead of being able to have fuel domestically, he's cut it. And what has he done to the Strategic Oil Reserve? Huh? He's emptying it. He's not replacing it. So, we don't have the fuel that we would need to fight a war for even by 60 days.
And not only that, we only have enough tank buster missiles, artillery rounds, LAW rockets. I can't remember some of the other nomenclatures of weapon systems that we'd sent over to Ukraine. But between mortars, artillery rounds, and rockets, we are between 3 to 5 years behind on production. So if we got invaded next year, we only have enough in our inventory for a limited, protracted war.
You know, the kamikazes caused more naval ships to sink than any other thing. The kamikazes were extremely effective at doing what they did. I forgot how many it was, but it was quite a large number of ships that they took out. So these Japanese were not afraid to die serving the emperor. Today, Doug, do you think Chrysler, do you think Ford, do you think Chevrolet, do you think that plant in Ohio have Chinese people working there? They have people who have been compromised that are not afraid to die, and they would quickly sabotage our manufacturing capability. That's another thing we don't even talk about. And we see all these people coming across the border. The FBI arrest people at universities left and right that are, been compromised by the Chinese, and they're giving away trade secrets. So what we had in World War II is so far in the rearview mirror that I don't even know if we'd respond. Plus, we have a moron in chief. I mean, an entity.
And to compound this even more, you cannot have a 1776 response to what you have with this current.
What would General Milley do? What would he, by his own words, what would General Milley do?
Oh, he'd call his friends from China to come and help stop it.
Yeah, and well, no, we're gonna be attacking you guys soon. I'm gonna let you know we're coming over there to attack you. I mean, he said it by his own words. If Donald Trump tried this, but so, you know, Doug, this is one facet of what we talk about all the time. You know, in no way are you or I and any in the league of Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Daniel. We're not in that league. Okay. I admit that, but the same way most of America receives what we're saying is the same way Israel received what Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, all those people said. They rejected it. They mocked it. They ridiculed it. And today, you know, the majority of America, you know, oh, America number one, God bless America, you know, hey, we got a football game going on. They don't see it coming. Babylon never saw it coming until Meeny, Meeny, Tekel, Upharsin was written on the wall. You know, and that is going to happen one day, one night, one specific time. I think it's going to be very, very rapid when it happens. And even if it's a limited nuclear attack on the United States or Western Europe, I don't even know if we'd respond, because the Russians would just say, if you respond to it, we're going to annihilate your cities. Granted, you'll annihilate ours, but we're going to annihilate yours. I think we'd take our toys and go home and not do anything. And this is where we're at. And that, Doug, this is just one element of America's decline. You know, George Washington said it best. America's for religious and moral people. Well, you know, we're not doing that. Any civilization that has gender, you know, generous, whatever, these children that mutilates its children cannot stand. Any nation, I mean, again, you know, how many of those, you know, if we did go to war, how many of those munitions factories would blow up? I mean, we just had another food processing facility blow up. We had a very suspicious fire on Maui where they turned off all the water. People trying to escape that fire, they wouldn't let them leave. And so, you know, I think when that death count, if we ever know the death count, it's going to be into the thousands. You know, and so let me ask you a question here, Doug, answer this. Hawaii is a very blue state. It's a very Democratic state. Would you agree?
Yep.
If Joe Biden will do that to the very people who put him in power, what will he do to you and I, the red state people?
You know, what I see happening, what I see manifesting, is you have a people who are wholeheartedly starting to embrace the idea of rebellion. And once you've embraced the idea of rebellion, you're going to have factions that are going to divide, and then they will have their own ideas of what rebellion and repercussions and reactions are. And then people will start formulating plans. And obviously, if the government does not curtail their actions, then rebellion only speeds up. And then the tea gets poured out in the harbor. And then from there, you start to have more governmental reactions. Now, I don't think Posse Comitatus would be suspended, but obviously I didn't think the absolute lack of humane response to Maui would happen either. I can't believe the military, more or less, well, I don't know if they were told to stand down. I don't want to say that about
them. All Biden had to do was call them up. The largest Army base, largest Marine Corps base is within, you know, on the big, on Oahu. They could have been there in no time fighting those fires, helping people evacuate, having tankers fly over, dumping water.
Yeah, I was out there, man. I was staged. You know, that's where my unit was, 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, Kaneohe Bay.
Where are the children? I mean,
you can't tell me you couldn't do an amphibious, you know, response to it. You couldn't have had, you know, the large, I don't know if it was in harbor or not in Pearl Harbor, but, you know, the large aid station, the floating aid station. We couldn't have put boats in the water. We couldn't put helicopters in the air, just start landing randomly and dropping off supplies and people. And we couldn't have done anything. And then not only that, but the civilian response coming across the water and bringing supplies and then being accosted by the authorities, being stopped by the Coast Guard. That's a federal entity, being stopped by the Coast Guard. And then the local police came in and said, hey, you know, you got this placard going on to where, you know, people can come here for all these supplies. I'm now being told that you can't do it anymore and you got to disperse. When you hear that officer say that, you can hear in his own words how he couldn't believe what he was saying. But what I can't believe is why you even said it. Why didn't you just tell your bosses, go screw yourself?
I'm just following orders. You know, yeah.
How many cities do we see burn in 2020 for people just following orders?
Yeah, well, how many Jews? I'm just following orders. You know,
this could be potentially 3,000 people dead or more.
Yeah, more. But, you know, going back to the World War II thing, China just announced that they have a continuous burn laser. I don't know if you saw that. So it's not a pulse laser that can send out a pulse for 10 seconds and turn off. This thing can stay on, and it can be in an orbital platform. Imagine hitting an aircraft carrier, and that laser beam just burns a hole through everything. Again, they are having the advanced technology. They have the manufacturing capability well over us. If you've ever seen their soldiers, you do not see an overweight soldier in there, a Marine.
Or purple.
Yeah, their aircraft are catching up to ours, not quite yet, but we can't produce the numbers they're producing. You know, our F-22 and F-35 are supposed to be superior, but the Chinese have stolen that technology and they're implementing it right now in future generation planes. They're building 2-to-1 ships over us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be defeated. I mean, I don't want to sound like that. I love this country. I don't want to see it happen, but you know, learn the lesson. It's going to happen. And the Army right now cannot meet their manpower requirements. They can't, because they're more worried about going woke than they are, you know, fighting a war. We have been internally sabotaged. And if we do go to war, there's so many hostile enemy combatants in this country, in our colleges, in our businesses, everything that have training in sabotage. They would be out sabotaging anything that would affect our ability to conduct a war. And so this is America today. And you see the Biden administration, which is the Obama administration, third term. I mean, they're facilitating it all. I mean, Doug, I watched Joe Biden in Hawaii, and I have never been more embarrassed for my country. I have never seen a more reprehensible, despicable display of just,
he was talking about his house almost getting caught on fire or something.
Not only that, I mean, he couldn't even speak.
Didn't even know what island he was on.
Yeah, he forgot what island. He had the island we're on now. He knew the big island. Then he tried to describe, the island we're on now. He forgot he was on Maui. And how he didn't express any concern for the people there.
He fell asleep when all the survivors were there.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder he didn't have an ice cream cone. That was the only thing that was lacking. So this is one element of our demise, is the fact that the military, I don't think, can fight a war today. I mean, we lost against goat herders in Afghanistan. We left $82 billion behind. We've spent 140, maybe more, billion in Ukraine, and we're losing that war. Russia will win that war, and we will leave, and Russia will achieve its goals. We can't win those wars. And so day by day, we just watch America go down. What is it now? Up to 100 countries want to join the BRICS nations,
yep,
the BRICS economy, so they can settle debt away from the U.S. dollar. 100 countries. That's end of the dollar. End of the dollar means end of the whole paradigm of American life switches when the dollar loses that capability. Your whole paradigm, everything you think about, you know, people go, well, I've got 2 weeks worth of food. This is going to last. This will last. I mean, in Russia, it lasted a decade. And so your 2 weeks is better than nothing, but it's going to be a far cry when the dollar loses that capability because they're rapidly moving away from the dollar. That's another crippling, you know, dart in the American coffin or nail in the American coffin. Then we have the absolute moral decay of this country, which is staggering how fast it's happened, that the most hideous, obscene, vulgar, nasty stuff is promoted as normal. And if you try to, I mean, they're trying to ban that song now. I was reading about it, Big Bottom Girls, you know, which was a mega hit. No, now they can't have that song anymore. I mean, everything with American culture is being banned. Everything of normal, the statues of our history are being torn down. American history is not even taught in schools anymore. That's another nail in our coffin. The educational system is not educating people. In fact, on a bright note, schools that are teaching classical education have seen enrollment go up 5,000%. You know, there are people that are figuring it out. They don't want to put their kids there. So our money's toast. Our educational system is toast. And we have three generations of kids that are toast. You know, and then the other thing is the amount of false doctrine that has come into the Church of Jesus Christ. I mean, we were talking yesterday of this starseed deception. And if you don't know what starseed is, all you have to do is go to YouTube and look it up. But it's basically people become starseeds. They become transformed. That's what the Bible says. The Christian is, we're transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Well, they're transformed by aliens. I had an acquaintance tell me, you know, he was transformed. He won't die. He will live forever. He will never get sick again. And he was visited by seven angels who empowered him. And now he says, I have the ability to put every doctor out of business and heal everybody and all this. Well, I can promise you, because the church does not found it on God's word anymore, the promise of eternal life, that starseed doctrine is going to infiltrate the church like crazy. So we have away from our Christian heritage to false doctrines, false Christ, and basically doctrines of demons. So every aspect of our life. I mean, the news media, they have so much low-hanging fruit where they could send everybody in Washington to prison for 5,000 lifetimes. Nothing is said. I mean, Joe Biden is as indictable as any human being that has ever lived. He's more indictable than Adolf Hitler. He's more indictable than Joseph Stalin. And yet nothing, because they're in cahoots with him. So the news media, we had all of our intelligence agencies, 51 leaders of our intelligence agencies. Oh, yeah, that computer, that's Russian hoax. No, yeah. So they've all been compromised. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see this? Do you know what's going to happen in one night? It's going to all turn over and they're going to say, no more meat for you, no more gas for you. By the way, your money is toast. It's no longer any good. You're going to have to switch over to a central bank digital currency.
You know, in one night, you're going to have a Kristallnacht.
Explain what Kristallnacht was, because a lot of people might not know.
So Kristallnacht was Himmler and Hitler had staged an assassination for 88 or 83 of the most high-ranking members of the SA. That was the stormtroopers, the brown shirts. And because they were becoming too powerful, not just in the Reich government, but actually with the people and with the Wehrmacht, with the military. And so because they were gaining that popularity and because the SS was taking Hitler into a different approach than what the SA wanted, Himmler and Adolf Hitler staged these killings, blamed one of them on a 17-year-old Polish kid, which was actually their excuse for invading Poland.
Yes.
They had actually like more or less created this bandit of domestic terrorists in Poland.
And our government's never done that.
Right. Yeah. Sound familiar. And so that's what they did. They took out the competition. Well, if the Republicans and the Democrats had this war with each other, let's be hyperbolic here for a second. If the Republicans and the Democrats have this war with each other, and the deciding factor is, like, let's say 80 of the most well-known figures in American industrial complex. right? And that industrial complex, it was, you know, that's your cybersecurity, that's your technology, like your Elon Musk, your social medias, your YouTubes. If you have those tech giants who decided, you know, that they're no longer going to front the bill or carry the water for the government, and they're going to go towards Donald Trump. And so because of that, the government would say, well, we declare you to be at this a national security event because Trump's a terrorist. We've tried indicting him like four times now. We've arrested half of his team. The president has already decreed that half of America that supports Donald Trump is terroristic.
Deplorables. Deplorables.
Yeah. Well, that's what Hillary said.
Yeah, I know.
What Joe Biden said was way worse. Joe Biden almost word for word called us all domestic violent extremists.
Yeah, and Doug, let me interrupt for a second. This is nothing new. You know, the Knights Templar grew. Basically, they started protecting the routes to go into the Middle East from Europe, and they charge a fee and all that, and they became immensely wealthy. The Pope eventually became very, very concerned about them, and you know how Friday the 13th came about. Because on Friday the 13th, the Pope went and murdered them all. Just went in all the upper echelon of the Knights Templars and murdered them. So it's nothing new to do this.
There was a huge – I don't talk about the Knights Templar too much because I actually know quite a bit of their history. What hasn't been destroyed anyways. They were actually the good guys that were completely framed by their government, that they were doing bloodletting, occultic rituals – that they were doing all these horrific things, and it was because of the power of money, Mammon, the god of this world,
they became
right?
Very powerful, and the Pope was afraid of them.
And the people trusted putting their deposits into the monasteries because they knew it could build interest and it would stay there instead of sending it off to Rome where they'd never have it again, they'd never see it again. And we're talking about people. Who, you know, it took a year to get a gold coin. Why do I want to go and give it to the church? They're not going to give anything back to me. And, you know, my crops are the one that's dying. The popes are the ones big and fat.
They're going to promise you your dead relatives will get out of purgatory quicker.
There you go. So you know, this grand scheme was made about the Knights Templar. And, look, I know there's some people who go, like, really far into the satanic stuff. That they say that the Templar did, and I've gone down that route looking at like very, very old, same as you, Bob, very, very old historical texts. You can't find any of it. It is literally the same thing that our government did. It's called psychological warfare.
Nero did it. He was having power struggles, so he set fire to Rome, and who were the scapegoats?
Christians.
Those Christians, they did it. And so there was a huge wave of, you know, Christian persecution. You know, we are being set up today as Christians. I mean, the spirit of Nero is still very much alive because right now Christians are being set up in so many ways. Even with that star seed, I can see it, you know, that, oh my gosh, this is how the Lord is moving. Eternal life comes through these aliens, you know, all that. And who's withstanding it? Who's the stick in the mud? Christians, we have to get rid of them.
Well, that's why it's important to get in front of that narrative, not to bury yourself deep and make the whole alien thing your ideology.
Yes, I agree with you.
Or you know, that's your character, that you're the alien guy. I think Steve Quell's done a very good job of explaining this. Timothy Alberino has done a very good job of explaining this. And you only got a few guys within this industry, within the Christian alternative news, who is actually out there trying to put forth, you know, a valiant effort. But because of the rabbit hole theory, nobody believes anybody. Everybody is out for money. Everybody is everybody's on the deep state. Everybody's Illuminati. You know how many times I've been called Illuminati
I've been called a Fed. Absolutely. There is
so many crazy people. I used to be a Fed.
Yeah.
I used to be. I was fully sold to what I thought was my patriotic duty, serving the government to protect the people, though I would say that I really did try to do that. But how can you be a good guy in the corrupt system? This was talk about wisdom coming from women. My wife back in 2020, this is when, you know, I reference 2020 all the time. because it was such an eye opener, at least for me, but not just me, but for America, because of the real police state. My wife said, you know, Doug, how could you be a good guy in the corrupt system and then still call yourself the good guy? Well, at least, you know, I'm working the streets, so I'm the good guy. You know, that might be true in my heart. But if I got tasked, hey, today you're going to go and track down this guy from January 6th who is there, you know, in your Fort Worth, Dallas area. Well, now the good guy is working for the corrupt system to go after people who were just expressing their First Amendment rights. So eventually there comes a time, and I've said this to a bunch of my guys before, there's going to come a time on the road, Bob, where law enforcement and the military and all the good doers, all right, you're going to have this moral, ethical decision line in the sand of, I go no further once you've crossed this line. I cannot allow my moral compass to be decomposed by being around these people anymore, because I don't want to get caught up in the next Nuremberg trial, right? Okay.
What's more than that? I don't want to get caught up standing before Almighty God as a murderer, as an evildoer, as someone who has innocent blood on my hands. I mean, what's the difference between people who do that and people who are abortion doctors?
The question I'd like to ask is, if we know for a fact, for a undisputed fact, that the president of the United States, his son, many people in his family, many others of these congressmen were at Epstein Island, involved in human trafficking, involved in narcotics trafficking, embezzlement, they were doing pay for play. And yet if Tucker Carlson can get on Fox News and say A connects to B connects to C, you did the crime, here's all the proof, there's not one investigator out there who'll say, oh, well, I'll take up that case and
low hanging fruit.
But the courts are afraid to do it. Here comes the war of fear. When you are too afraid to do your job because of reprisals, because, well, if I take a stand, then what happens to me if I do the right thing instead of just, you know, hey, Doug, you look the other way, we're going to go do this nefarious stuff. And I say, well, I can't do that because I'm a good moral person and I'm a Christian. You know what happens in this day and age? You get fired. You get harassed. Look at the FBI whistleblowers, fired, harassed. You have to move from town to town. You become paranoid. You lose friends. You lose relationships. It can destroy the family, destroy that person, all because you chose to do the right thing. How easy is it for the devil to say, just do the wrong thing, Doug? Just do the wrong thing. I'll pay you a little extra. I'll pay you a little extra, Bob. Just look the other way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Doug, you know, putting this in perspective, my goal with this is, we started with World War II and juxtaposed it to World War III and how we are totally incapable. In World War II, Yamamoto told the emperor that we could withstand the Americans for 6 months. After 6 months, their war capabilities, and you remember, Yamamoto was at Harvard, their war capabilities are going to catch up, and they're going to kick our hind ends. That's what he told them. That doesn't exist anymore. It's the opposite.
The problem with that is that we farmed out all of the military-industrial complex, the industrial complex in general. When you say industrial complex now, people think that you're talking about Boeing, that you're talking about Lockheed Martin and like Twitter, right? No, we're talking about everything from cotton to alloys to minerals had to be produced in America, or at least brought in, exported in, and then it was manufactured here in America. Go to Walmart and show me where it says made in America on 90% of your products.
Anything. You know, when you look at World War II devices, and I have some of the collectible memorabilia, it's like you can see like Lionel trains. Remember Lionel trains? The trains? You know, they made field phones during World War II. I actually have a field phone from World War II, and it says made by the Lionel Company. We had that industrial capability. So Lionel stopped making toy trains for kids and started making war material. We don't have that anymore.
Last time America kicked in to make something here in-house was COVID and COVID masks.
Yes.
That was it.
You just look right now at the space program. You know, in the 1970s, John F. Kennedy, you know, by the end of the decade, I want to put a man on the moon and return him safely. We are taking a decade with the technology readily available to even begin to replicate that. We just can't do it anymore, or won't do it. For some reason, we won't do it. And so if you look at that ability or lack of ability and say we had to fight a war, we just could not do it. Plus, you know, as the battleship was to World War One and was not to World War Two, the aircraft carrier was to World War Two, but it's not now. I mean, we have hypersonic drones, hypersonic missiles, advanced laser weapons, cyber warfare, all these new technologies, hydrocavitating torpedoes, all these new technologies, and the military is still building these $13 billion aircraft carriers.
Don't forget HAARP.
Yeah, all that, weather wars, all of it. And we're still building these huge 100,000-ton displacement ships that can move 30 miles an hour. Well, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but if I have a 5,000-mile-an-hour missile and an aircraft carrier and got 30 miles an hour, I just think it's not going to work out well for the aircraft carrier.
You know, it was the late 20-teens, I think 2017, 2018, when China announced that they had created the Fleet Killer missile that was specifically designed for the aircraft carriers, and the payload would then destroy the destroyer class that escorted the aircraft carrier. They've already been working on that.
They've advanced past us in fusion power. Fusion power is the ability to create electricity that you have more energy coming out than going in. So it's basically a perpetual energy system. They've made advancements in that. They've made super advancements in laser technology, like I was saying earlier in the program, where they can just turn a laser on and leave it on and burn holes in things.
Hey, not only that, but they've also been creating their own islands. They have been reinforcing islands, creating small airstrips, radio stations, sonar stations out there, radar stations.
In disputed territories. But they don't care.
Here's the thing. If you look at the map, here's America. On the Pacific side, you know, from California to China, we still have to steam all the way there with our Navy. All right. And once you get out into open waters, there's nowhere to hide. There's no ports. You're moving
30 miles an hour against hypersonic missiles.
And then we eventually have to go to a chain of islands, of hundreds of islands, and we have to clear every single island, which in between all that is going to be mined. So and the Marine Corps is now re-engaging in old tactics and training people again on how to do amphibious assaults on small islands, what we called island hopping training. They're starting to do that again, but the amount of manpower that it took to take the Pacific was staggering.
Yeah,
staggering.
The
Japanese, we don't have the...
No, the Japanese, plus the American people wouldn't have the stomach for it to lose 2,500 people during an attack on Iwo Jima, 2,500 dead. You know, and the Japanese back then with not high-tech weaponry had those beaches and those fields of fire honed to a perfection.
That's what we call them, beating grounds.
Yeah. And so today you don't have to even have that type of thing because the electronic technology will hone them in to just feet. And so to do a shore assault, I think would be a suicide mission. Again,
to be done.
I'm not trying to rain on Americans in America today. What I'm doing is I'm warning people as Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah warned them, you know, captivity is coming. Dispersal is coming. What you do today is going to determine chance favors the prepared mind. what you do today, changing, you know, retooling your life away from entertainment, away from just stupid things that you consume with your money that you earn. You know, I want another big screen TV, whatever it is, and retool your whole life to know that history is telling us what's going to happen. The word of God is telling us what is going to happen. We're not going to escape it.
Let me ask you, if you reverse the playing field and we're the ones being invaded, I still think that the TV series, Man in the High Castle, which I liked it and I didn't like it. But I think there's some parts in there. I'm not going to say the word's prophetic. That's not the right word. Somebody looked at what could have been and made a very good science fiction-y based guess of how it would have looked like if the Nazis and Japanese would have won. But that whole flyover country right there in the middle of the country, that was the wilderness, the no-go zone. Remember? That was the no-go zone.
Well, I mean,
man, the amount of terrorism that's happening in America now and the amount of little splintered groups with all their different objectives from the left wing and the right wing, we would tear ourselves apart while being invaded, trying to scurry over each other in Walmart and the gas stations and the sporting goods stations, we would be killing each other over every 12 gauge, 5.56, 9mm box, along with any cans of tuna and beef jerky packages, because people are wild animals when it comes down to.
You would kill someone for a saltine cracker. While at the same time, you would have this huge wave of saboteurs in this country, destroying everything that's what they're trained to do. And just as the Japanese kamikazes were not, I mean, they knew I'm going to fly into a ship and kill myself. These people are going to have that same mentality. I don't care if I get caught or killed. I'm going to take XYZ out. And so they can't use it. This is what we've brought into America. This is what Joe Biden and the Democrats' open borders have brought into America. This is what these shipping containers that have been brought into America with, ballistic and non-ballistic missiles in them. This is what has been brought into America across the border, fentanyl, that they could, I mean, just think what you could do with that much fentanyl, putting it in water and you do whatever you want to do with it.
Oh, and then throw in bioweapon and chemical warfare.
Bioweapons, exactly. You know, we just saw that, and now they're telling us, right, how convenient, right before the upcoming election, we got to isolate again. We got to put the mask on again. We got to do this.
I think, once again, what you do to an already stirred up box of hornets is you take that box and you shake it a little bit harder, right? We want to piss off the people just a little bit more and shake that box a little harder. And the hornets are going to fly out and no one is safe. Everybody gets stung. And that's the American response. But meanwhile, the government knows what it's doing. They got a clown in chief in office, but the guys in charge know what they're doing. They know how to poke you. They know how to press your buttons. They play upon the American heartstrings. It used to be, if you look at the difference between Fox News and CNN, CNN was all opinions and emotions. Fox News was all opinions and a little bit of like political data. Okay. A little bit of emotion pulling, but the Democratic was much more on emotions. That's why if you look at the leftists, they're generally emotionally disturbed, emotionally unstable people. Yes. And on the right, you have people that are, a little bit more put together.
Well, that's why they can't. If you start bringing up facts and figures in an argument, they quickly switch from rational thinking into caveman brain. And you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're this, that. They're not going to engage in that kind of conversation. They don't have the capability to do it because they're emotionally unstable and they're intellectually unstable.
It's scary that those same people are in charge now of, let's go ahead and name it, the courts, law enforcement, your investigative agencies, your intelligence agencies,
military, school,
the church. Pentagon, your schools, your churches, your White House.
Newspapers, everything. Your major corporations.
I think once again, you remember when they were talking about that Great Reset, and now you don't hear that no more. You don't hear Great Reset. If you want to have a Great Reset, what you do is you reset from the beginning. Because what you need to do is you need to kill off the people that are in the elderly to in the 40s. So from, well, no, let's say from elderly to 50s, because there's plenty of idiotic 40-year-olds out there that are lefty loonies. So you take from elderly to 50, you do whatever you have to. You do whatever you have to wipe those people out, pandemic or not. And then you restart with those
with fire.
Right, right. What you do is you restart from kindergarten to the 40-year-old on how they think, how they feel, what is emotionally right, what is not, what is historically accurate and what is not. And once again, changing history so that it matches your current political machinations. This is what's been happening in America. And it's almost like if they think, you know, America is finally at the point, because we can't, if we can't prosecute Trump and get him locked up or shut up, then we have to go to routes A, B, and C. All right. So if the primary objective was arrest Donald Trump, take him off the playing field, let Ron DeSantis be the next candidate, which I think that was part of the plan, then we got to worry about the American people, their American will, and their willingness to rebel. So we need to poison the people, we need to demoralize them, and then we need to disarm them. All three things are being worked on right now. Governor Newsom of California, he's put forth a bill to actually completely strike away the Second Amendment for peace and safety.
And strike away a parent's right to have any control over their children at all. If your child wants to come and says, you know, I'm now a three-legged zebra, you've got to go along with it.
Do you not think with the atrocities from 2020 to the atrocities of Katrina, 2020, what's going on right now with our dear friends in Maui, thoughts and prayers are with you guys. If anyone has anything for a fundraiser, online fundraiser that you can post in the comment section, please post it so that we'll know where to put donations. But if you, like I said, you stir that hornet's nest enough, the hornets are going to come out and they're going to take advantage of that. And I think we're getting to that element. I mean, could you imagine if it comes out that 3,000 children were incinerated because of a government that just was not either completely corrupt and caused it to happen, or because they were so incompetent they caused it to happen. Do you not think people would not just come out of the woodwork? I thought we would see guns in schools with Drag Queen Story Hour. I really thought that. I thought if you want to get the Bubbas mixed up in the group, start bringing drag queens to kindergartens, you're going to get old boys in coveralls with shotguns and rifles showing up. But it didn't happen. That's the thing that worried me, is when it didn't happen. I didn't want that to happen. What I see is the emotional response of Americans. Did you not respond the way I think we would have in the 90s and 80s and so on? Because you're scared the government's response, or because it's passive attacks, and now you just kind of just brush it off. Like, I won't worry about that. Like, if we don't start worrying, then, and we don't put up any sort of a fight, then they'll walk right over us and it'll all be our fault.
Well, they have been walking right over us. Just look at the John Fetterman thing. If that's for real, and they've got that new clown acting as John Fetterman, I mean, that's just so obvious. They don't care anymore. They don't care about the American people. The same, you know, the same time frame that Joe Biden's given $40 billion to Ukraine, he gives, not per person, per family, $700. Wow, $700. You know, they were doing the math, and that equals about $1.5 million. $1.5 million they're going to give to the residents of Hawaii for the amount of people that got burnt out. 1.5 million, 40 billion. They don't care. But I know just a little bit of time left. We don't go into these things just to denigrate or, you know, to scare or whatever. You have time. Your time's running out to do something for your own family, because it's obvious. Just look at Maui. They don't care. The response to the next pandemic or next disaster is going to be in similar manner as what happened in Maui. You know, everybody has one foot nailed to the floor and they're running. And that's all they do is run in circles.
I think one of the greatest deceptions that Satan has gotten on us is for the average person to believe that they have plenty of time to repent of their sins and to prepare for the tribulations coming. Anyone, I challenge anyone, do you not think the people who were in that Maui fire, did you not think that they were in some sort of a judgment?
They woke up that morning not having a clue that within a few hours they were going to stand in eternity. I mean, they didn't have a clue that morning when they woke up that thousands of souls were going to enter eternity. And that it had been planned against them. The routes out of the area were closed down and the police turned people back. The water was turned off. So they couldn't. I mean, it's just.
You entered.
Go ahead.
You got an extra 10 minutes?
Yes.
We can go as long as you want. I don't have a time hack unless you do.
No.
So with the government response, the police response, I just got off Doug and Dave Intel report with Hodges, and we were talking about this. Based off my background, so when I was on a special response team for Homeland Security, part of the elements as to why our team was created was actually based off of natural disaster responses coming at it from the security law enforcement perspective of Hurricane Katrina. And so if law enforcement creates a specialized team to respond to these horrific events, then so does the emergency management. All right. That's where you have all the fire teams. You have all the logistics teams, all the medical teams, all the teams of chaplains that would be shipped out there. And once again, Oahu is right next door to Maui, and not a single boat filled with sailors or Marines or soldiers came over there to assist. And so when you look at Lahaina, is did I say that right? When you look at the affected town, it almost looks like a T. Lahaina, excuse me, almost looks like a T facing the coast, okay? Here, let me pull this up. Maybe this will help us out. When you go to look at it, it's strange because you can see perfectly well where the corridors should have been, the safety corridors that should have been opened up and then moved. Here, let's see, Google Maps, Doug, not Goggle Maps. Okay.
And right now I was reading they're going to start sterilizing these images off the internet. You know, they don't want people seeing them anymore. It's just like Building 7 collapse. If you go to YouTube, you have a hard time finding a Building 7 from the World Trade Center collapse.
So, yeah, that's absolutely true. So here's Lahaina. All right. Now, to the right, you have a natural area reserve. And this is what I was talking with Hodges about. Now, I've never been to Maui, so I don't know the territory too much, but I've seen a lot of videos, and I can put you on the street view and see it. They said that the governor said that the fire got so hot it was able to melt alloys. So yes. That means the fire got to 2,000 to 3,000 degrees.
And fires don't get that hot.
The average forest wildfire, we'll pull it up, the average forest wildfire is 1,472 degrees. Here's
yes. So they're saying it got over 1,000 degrees hotter.
1,000 or 2 degrees hotter.
Yes.
Well, that's a lot of
Well,
fire.
it's right around 2,500 degrees, what it takes to melt metal.
So what I don't see is I don't see any type of accelerant or sustaining force to continue that amount of heat. Now, once again, this is the portion that was swept away by the fire. Okay, like I said, it's just this T facing into the water. If you look, this is grassland. Because look, I'll put you on the street level, okay? And I can put you on the street level anywhere, and you can see what is sustaining that fire. Okay? What is sustaining the fire? Have you out where I'm at, we have grassland fires all the time. They can be easily put out. If anything, you should be burning this stuff so, you know, events like this don't happen. But look back towards here. What sustained that fire? I looked it up, and this area of Maui got 133 inches of rain this year. Now, even you know, with this during even a small drought, you know, that's going to burn up real quick. But that should not set this tree on fire. Okay, as you go through all this, this should not have been burnt up. But come to find out, Hodges has discovered that the smart meters that are on all these buildings, once they get to a certain level, become an incendiary device. Now, here you go. This should not, now these palms will catch on fire quick, but you know, they'll burn right off. But this should not create a firestorm.
There's not a lot of BTUs in any of that stuff you're pointing out.
There's not enough to sustain it. I can understand a grass fire that's extraordinarily hot that will get out of control, but how does this burn up?
And the winds were blowing it so fast, which would make it hotter, but it would cover the ground very rapidly, that grass with a high wind blowing it would burn through that very quickly.
Very quickly. So here's the other thing. And I don't know exactly where the police were. I think this Highway 30 into Lahaina is the only way in and out, if I'm correct. So I don't know where these people were evacuating from, but there's your option, north or south of 30.
And they
So
block those roads.
this is called a safety corridor. Law enforcement would set up a safety corridor. And we would be funneling people away from wherever the fire was. If the fire was all right here, okay, if the fire is all in this area, because this is grassland, then your fire department should have been lined up somewhere along the residential areas and should be soaking this area, doing their job. Any firefighters in the comment section, please comment on what your, you know, directions would be for this. I'm not a firefighter. I'm only assuming. But I've taken plenty of emergency management courses. So, you know, I mean, you would be funneling people out of this area, creating a safety corridor. And yet they were trapped. They were trapped. Law enforcement sat in an area somewhere around here or somewhere around here and created a blockade for people not to get out.
Yes, that's exactly what they did.
I mean, just me saying, I'm going to ram my car into your police car and to get out of the way. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do it. Don't shoot me. I'm going to move your car because you are being given the wrong instructions. Once again, here goes law enforcement listening to corrupt politicians. I do not understand, have not understood where politicians are in the chain of command for law enforcement departments. They're not. When you look at your chain of command, like sheriff's department, it's the sheriff, undersheriff, captains, lieutenants, sergeants, corporals, and so on forth. Where is the mayor? Where is the city council? Why the hell are you listening to these people? You cost so many lives by listening to these people. Your ass is on the line for following orders. And should be on the line for following orders. And whoever that little bastard was that said, turn off the water. Now, I haven't found this video, but Dave told me there's a video of it. This guy was asked why he turned off the water. And he said, because we need to rethink our relationship with water, because water is sacred.
That's what it is. It's part of the wokeness of what they're saying, that you can't use water to put out fires because it is a sacred thing. That thought was actually spinning around there. I mean, you mentioned earlier in the program, they're mentally unstable people. Well, perfect example of it. Mentally unstable. Water is sacred. Don't they know that the water that goes on the fire is going to evaporate and it's going to go right back into the cycle of hydrological cycle? They could probably hear the water screaming as it was put on the fire. I don't know. But again, Doug, you know, I do this to warn those who have ears to hear that, you know, the American empire is quickly coming to an end. And you need to adjust your lifestyle to accommodate that. Now, you might be the mindset, I don't want to live through it. Well, you probably won't. But if you have children, you want to live through it, protect your families, you really need to be in high gear right now, doing all kinds of preparations to get ready for this tragedy that's coming. Because when the dollar collapses, you name it, civil war, war, whatever happens, it's going to take us down so fast. People's heads are going to spin just like it did in Babylon. And one night, boom, it was gone.
Well, you know, and help us out here, Bob. Let's talk about preparations real quick. We got three hurricanes in the Atlantic that are forming.
Yes.
Most likely the first one, I think, is going to go off easterly into the Atlantic Sea or the Atlantic Ocean. This is just the beginning. You know, up until November, we're going to have all these hurricanes. What should people be considering who live in the Gulf, like where I used to, all the way up the Eastern Seaboard? What should they be thinking about preparations right now before the hurricane hits and before the crowds hit the stores?
Well, obviously you want to get water. If you have the ability, if you're up high enough, you're not going to get flooded out. Bottles of water are going to be absolutely critical. Perhaps even the ability to filter water. You know, most water filters, you have to, Katadyn does make desalinators. It's not hard to make a solar desalinator yourself. You can go on YouTube and look it up and see how to make a solar desalinator, but you will need water. It's always the thing that goes. Food will go. The chain of supply is breaking down already with this. And so you'll need food. Obviously you're going to need the ability to protect yourself. The last big fire hurricane that hit Louisiana, I mean, there was just bedlam. They brought in Blackwater to restore order. And they, from what we understood, and I've watched documentaries that say they actually gave them, you know, terminate with extreme prejudice anybody's doing anything. So it turned into a real just war zone down there. With hurricanes, water, food, protection, those things are critical. Communication. Having the ability to communicate, even if it's close by, you want to have the ability, with just, short, little radios that'll work, a quarter mile. If it's further than that, then you're going to have to address different ways to communicate, but having the ability to communicate, ability to receive communication, listen, having radio, the ability to listen and take care of business that way. Those are going to be absolutely critical things that you do. Obviously, we have a nighttime environment anymore, and technology has given us that wonderful thing of being able to see at night. I know you took people out with night vision during the course that we had here, which another one is coming in October, active shooter course. And, you know, people who had never looked through night vision before could not believe what they were looking at when they looked through the night vision.
Oh, we just had a big active shooter reported in Pittsburgh, by the way, over 100 shots fired in a subdivision for a guy who was being evicted, and then he barricaded himself and just started firing at everyone in all directions.
Yeah. So the active shooter course, you know, that's training is you can have everything you can buy, and without training, you're going to be really in serious. You'll be seriously the underdog. So training's critically important. But again, just the simple things of food, water, communication, protection, those are going to be absolutely critical. You want to have food that's protected well, so even if it does get wet, it's not going to ruin it. Peak refuel or Numana, you know, metal cans are good. But if it gets in salt water, just keep in mind you're going to have to clean them off real well. Probably lose the labels, so you won't know what's in the can because you'll lose the label. But, you know, so maybe get something that you won't lose the label on it if it gets wet.
Or magic marker right on there on the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, what it is. So, you know, and then again, I just tell more and more people, you know, go down to your Lowe's or Walmart, Home Depot, and get ability to have fire suppression, fire blankets. And you know, I have about 10 fire extinguishers in my home. I have them. You were down at our training facility. We got fire extinguishers everywhere down there.
Yep. And they're pretty.
Yeah. Just for fire suppression. You want to be able to have fire suppression because bad guys will burn you out. That's what I tell people. You have time to do these things and I'd get it done. You know, we have night vision in stock. We have communication in stock. We have medical supplies in stock. People can call ReadyMade Resources at 800-627-3809 or go to our website, readymaderesources.com.
I think a NOAA radio is another really good one.
Well, you know, the Bofang radio has NOAA on it. 162.550 megahertz. If you want to write that down, anybody, if you have a radio that picks up 162.550, that's 24/7 weather report. And you can just turn that on and it doesn't matter when it is, wherever it's at. If that's off air, something's gone wrong. Cause it's 24/7.
Hey, listen to this. I'm on the National Interagency Fire Center. I want you to hear the current fires that are in America. 12 in Alaska, that's claimed 262,000 acres. Out of those 12, only 5 are contained. Arizona, 2 fires that have already burned up 1,076 acres, only 1 contained. California, and this is current, 9 fires, that's claimed 77,288 acres, with 0 contained. Colorado, 5 fires. They have burned up 7,103 acres, 0 contained. Florida, 3 fires that have claimed 1,310 acres, 0 contained. Hawaii, 2 fires, 3,453 acres, 0 contained. Idaho, 12 fires, 62,484, 1 contained. Louisiana, 1 fire. That's claimed 448 acres, and it's not contained. Mississippi, 1 fire, 450 acres, not contained. Montana, 11 fires, claimed 56,513 acres, 0 contained. New Jersey, 1 fire, it's claimed 1,500 acres, not contained. New Mexico, 6 fires, it claims 27,254 acres, 0 contained. Oregon, 4 fires, 77,409 acres claimed, and 0 contained. Texas, 5 fires. They've lost 3,190 acres with 4 contained. Utah, 1 fire that's already taken 7,253 acres, not contained. And then Washington State has 8 fires that's claimed 34,025 acres with 1 contained. You have more to worry about than just the giants and the New World Order and Illuminati and all the rabbit holes. When we tell you that the real things you need to be, what your preps are for, is for the human element and the weather.
Yes.
These two things are always going to try to decimate you and kill you.
Doug, in the 18th century, the number one death rate for women was not childbirth, which a lot most people think it is. It was fire. They were working with grease. They had basically light linen clothes, flour. You mix linen, grease, and flour together, and you get a toxic, burnable cocktail there, almost as good as something like Sterno. They're going to go up in a flame, and then they did. They didn't have the knowledge of how to deal with fire, and fire burns, but that most people die of dehydration when they get burnt badly. It's extremely painful, but when you have that exposed skin, it dehydrates very quickly. Well, you know, the poor man's way of dealing with it, if you don't have medical treatment available, is make sure you stock up on Vaseline. And what you do is, if there's a big burn there, you cover that burn very good with heavy amount of Vaseline. That prevents the dehydration. Yep. And it also prevents that when you put bandages on it, that the skin doesn't start growing back through the bandages. And then when you rip it off, you just re-injure the wound. So, you know, Vaseline, you know, and then bandages, have a lot of bandages because, you know, you got to change those bandages frequently. You have to put the Vaseline back on it frequently and keep that wound sterile. Antibiotics, you know, you can get them. They're online.
And with that type of exposure, with like a third degree burn, don't be pouring like alcohol straight onto the wound either.
Oh, gosh, no.
You'll still shock and kill them.
And it's going to dry your skin out, first of all. And you want to keep that moisture on the skin. But, you know, you debride it. So if you've got dead skin covering up, you want to cut the dead skin away. Because that's where infection can really develop quickly, is underneath that dead skin. So you have to cut it away, and it can be very painful while you do it. But, you know, it's not the ideal way, but that's a lot of the ways in World War II in the battlefield that they did put heavy coats of Vaseline on a burn, cover it up with bandages, and then, you know, set up an IV. We've already gone into the poor man's way to do an IV. You can do it rectally. Your colon will absorb the water. It will rehydrate your body. If you don't have the ability to set up a venous IV, that does work because, you know, you want to keep that water level and those electrolytes back in the body. You know, I always like to tell that people, because people, so when they think of preps, they think of the raving hordes. They think, I need a million rounds of ammunition, all those things. And yet burns are going to be one of the number one things people deal with, burns. And so have the ability to deal with burns. Lavender oil, on a burn, lavender oil, and I've personally experienced this and used it, lavender oil has an extreme analgesic effect on a burn. I mean, better than what most people say, better than morphine. So if you get real lavender oil, real cold pressed lavender oil, I get it from Mountain Rose Herb, and put that on the wound, it's not only a very powerful analgesic, but it's also antibiotic. So it keeps the wound from getting infected. The Vaseline on, cover with bandages. You're going to need a lot of bandages because you got to change it quickly, change it frequently so it doesn't develop infection. And, you know, you can keep someone alive who would otherwise die. And, you know, that's what people need to do. So, you know, you can have your million rounds of ammunition, just like people who own 15 guns but no night vision. It's like, why? You can only shoot one at a time. I can understand having a couple, but you can only shoot one at a time. And at night, you're not going to be able to shoot it at all unless you just shoot, you know, willy-nilly, wildly. You won't be able to recognize targets. And so that's why night vision is important. Communication, you want to be able to talk to your neighbor down the street so you can coordinate your efforts. That's what communication is so important. Plus, with even those Bofang radios, you can listen to anybody talking. So if you hear strange voices within your within your area, you know, you've got strangers in the area and you might want to deal with them, find out what they're about. So all these things are very practical things to do. And if you don't do them, you're going to be an extreme disadvantage because, you know, this country is going down at just very, very quickly. Nobody likes to face it. Everybody wants to play, you know, ostrich in the sand, head in the sand and not acknowledge it, but it is. And so what you do now, what you prepare now is going to determine whether you live or die, whether you see your family go into a FEMA camp or even worse, be hauled off by, you know, marauders who will use your women for, you know what they're going to use
cattle.
It for.
Cattle.
Yeah.
Well, these are the kind of conversations that we have a lot with the people who show up at the active shooter course.
Yes.
You know, if you show up and, you know, I mean, we typically gather together as big groups. We do prayer. We do some Bible study here and there. This next time, I will make that a mainstay of prayer and Bible study. But, you know, we also have these discussions, and it's great because some people, you know, they want questions answered or at least considered and thought about. And, you know, if we're there, you know, tag us, ask us. You know, we don't know everything, but between me, Bob, and some of the other instructors that are there, hopefully we could be able to, you know, square you away.
Yeah. Give you at least set you in the right direction. Again, I'm not a medic. but I do know how to deal with that burn. I've watched somebody show me how to do that. And so I can pass at least that knowledge on to you. Because if you don't deal with dehydration and a burn, if it's any substantial burn at all, a person's going to die. And you know, while you can keep them alive, nobody likes to think of a rectal IV, but the alternate is you die. And so it might not be the best thing to think about, and people might get grossed out and wigged out over it, but it will keep somebody alive. And, that's what we're talking about, giving you a fighting chance to survive when things have not gone your way, or to capitalize on other people's mistakes. And I'm not talking about going out raiding and doing like that, but capitalize on people who want to hurt you when they make mistakes, how you can capitalize on that. That's what active shooter does. You capitalize on maybe the active shooter's mistakes, and, you know, you save lives, and maybe including your own or your family's. And that's why it's so important to take that course. We also offer radio courses. You know, Brush Beater has a course coming up, where it's not a ham radio course, but it's a very, very good course to teach you how to use radio effectively in a grid down situation. You know, Doug, it's always a pleasure to come on your program. I think we sync real well. I hope we convey to people the lateness of this hour. And I pray and ask God that they would give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding of the times in which we live. That's always the prayer. That's always a blessing of God, that he would give a man or a woman an understanding of the times in which they live. Because if you don't have that, you're going to be find yourself in a line of cattle being headed off to the slaughterhouse. So,
yeah, you know, and salvation is of the Lord. Make sure that you're right with God.
Yes.
Now, don't believe the devil's lies, and that, you know, you can keep sinning until the day, you know, the storm clouds are coming, and oh, or you know what? Now I'll repent. Don't wait till that day. You never know how long we have on this world. Prepare accordingly. Don't go out and buy a bunker and all this other stuff. You know, be smart about what you're doing. If you have any questions, Bob, what's your number so people can call and ask?
Again, they can call me at 800-627-3809. I'll be glad to talk with you and just go through. Like I said, it's Henry Ford used to say, you could have any color you want as long as it's black. And I think a lot of people who sell survival supplies have that mentality. But each family is different. Do you have elderly in your family? Do you have young in your families, children, babies? You know, what location are you at? Do you have a lot of very, very cold weather? Like if you lived in Michigan, or do you live in Louisiana? That goes. What, do you live in a city or do you live rural? All those things come into play. What kind of budget do you have that you could have discretionary income to put towards survival supplies? How could you maybe cut your existing budget and get rid of things that are just consuming time wastefully, and redirect those funds to repair? Because I can promise you, the day this happens, everybody's going to go, would have, could have, should have. That's going to be the regret game. Would have, could have, would have, should have. And you don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. So today, the Bible talks about today is the day of salvation. Now, that's spiritual salvation, but also we're guaranteed today only. And you know, you can start today. If you haven't, you're not guaranteed tomorrow.
That's right. Well, anyone, if you got a question for us, leave it in the comment section. We'll do our best to answer it. Bob and I do read the comments. So, but from there, if you need to contact Bob for your preparation needs, make sure you contact him. If you want to email me about any of the things that we've been talking about, email me. My email is AmericanVindictusShow@gmail.com. If you want to come to the active shooter course, if you have no weapons training, no tactics training, or if you have a little bit and you want to learn a little bit more, or if you're an elite warrior fighter and, you know, you just want to come out and have fun and get some reps in with us, come out. It'll be October 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's 30 hours of training, and it's 3 10-hour days. We do a lot of training. Last time we kind of got hampered by weather, but this time is an intermediate course. We're not doing basic stuff. You know, you'll get taught a few basic things, and after that, guys, we are running on force on force and use of force scenarios. You guys are going to end up becoming your own targets. And I'm going to put you in a very uncomfortable situation so that you'll learn how to keep your cool, which is not what you're going to learn on a flat range. That's not what you're going to learn playing video games. You guys who think, you know, you can get your training off of video games. And if you don't believe me and you want to test me, come out. I promise you, you will leave feeling much better and well-trained.
Doug, you want to interrogate me, don't you?
I'm going to interrogate you. It's going to happen. The last time we did have an interrogation course between myself and our guest instructor, Steve Reyes, who was a Special Forces medic. And we put people through a scenario where, you know, the whole world's ended. And, you know, what was the old saying? You know, Department of Homeland Security is, you know, rounding up people for the FEMA centers. And I played my role as a bad guy. And we questioned people tactically the way we actually question people. And it was a good scenario training that allowed people to think their way through. And we assisted that allowed people to think their way through a problem and work on that problem. Because once again, it's the human problem that you're going to have to deal with. And we gave 20 different scenarios. Almost everyone got to have a turn being interrogated. And it was quite, I think it was good for the class to watch it. We had some guys who had some very unique responses. And when we had some guys that actually did pretty good. But you know what we did, Bob, is we took people out of their comfort space. We made it uncomfortable. We tripped them up. I even tripped up Doc. So, you know, to get that type of exposure, I can't do it over a video. I can't do it over a podcast. You have to see it up close and personal.
I've been through it before, and I'm telling you what, even though, you know, it's just role playing, it can get very, very tense.
It can get real quick.
Yeah, people don't understand. You know, you could be as innocent as Mother Teresa, but when you get in that situation and you're being everything's being done to trip you up, you're okay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, what happened right before E, you know, that type of thing, and you have to go back, and if you've been lying, you're going to get tripped up real easy like that. You get to see what it's like, and that could save your life one day if you are at a checkpoint.
Absolutely. That's why it's trained to the military. That's why the military training.
I watched the police videos and, you know, these ones, cops or whatever, and the guys on there go, I'm a sovereign citizen, you know, and you know, you know, that's probably not the way to handle it. You know, go along, give benign answers, you know, and, you know, but if you play that, you know, I'm a sovereign citizen. I don't have to show you my driver's license. I don't need this. I don't need that. You're going to get that glass broken in your face and drug out of that car.
My biggest advice to people during these types of situations, like let's say the scenario was a checkpoint. You're trying to get through a checkpoint. If me and all my buddies are out there and we have all of our law enforcement stuff on, we have all of our guns, and obviously we're the ones running the checkpoint and you have to get through it, most likely you're not going to have you and your buddies, and you're not going to have all your cool guy gear. It's probably going to be you and whatever you got on you, either on foot or in a vehicle. So you got to consider what is more important, is running my mouth and acting like a cool guy and being abrasive. And now, you know, because if you want to talk that way, then you want me to pay attention to you. And if you want me to pay attention to you, I'm going to take you out of your car. I'm going to identify you. If you don't want to identify, then I'm going to put you in handcuffs and you're going to get identified. And then your wife won't know where you are. Your kids won't know where you are because you want to act like a tough guy. Don't think that scenario will not still apply when prophecy has hit the fan. People are still going to do what they're doing now, but it'll just be worse. So be the gray man, just go along with it. You know, be dumb. Doc's thing was always act like you're sick. No one wants to touch the guy who's sick, except I tripped him up because I identified him and certain things he was doing as being someone who's a veteran. I said, you know, it seems like you're sick. We have guys out here at a FEMA installation who've been telling me about you people who are sick, and we want to get you evaluated. So I was able to take away his little kryptonite of sickness. So what this does is it has all of us stop and think, How would I get through this checkpoint? How would I get, and that checkpoint doesn't have to be from the government. It could be from marauders, gangbang.
My best friend, Mark, you know, he told me if you ever stop traffic stop for whatever reason, and it's at night, turn your dome light on. The cop knows it's a courtesy because you're like illuminating yourself so he can see your hands, and he's going to approach your vehicle completely different than if you've got those lights off and he can't see what's going on inside. You've just done him a courtesy.
Please don't hop out of your vehicle. You'll get shot.
Don't hop out of your. Just put your hands on your steering wheel, turn your dome lights on, let them see what's going on in there. And you know what? That sets the pace of the rest of the conversation. And you're going to do that. But if you're with the lights off, fumbling around inside, man, that stress level in that cop's going to go up about 900%.
Well, you know, and here's the thing, what in everything that you do, are you glorifying God?
Yes.
Are you just wanting to look like a tough guy, or do you just want to get home? Yeah. You know, and I've paired this question a few times, you know, if someone comes and raps on your door, hey, we know you have these weapons and we're here to confiscate them. Where are they at? You got 10 minutes. If not, you're coming with us and your weapons are coming with us. What is more appropriate, to take my weapons and say, here you go, I'm left alone, I'm here with my family, if need be, I can acquire more weapons? Or is it worth my family's risk to have me taken out of the element because I refuse to get rid of my pride and my guns? A question that can be answered differently if you continue to spin the scenario, but if you just stick on just like how I said, what would you do? What is more efficient for the protection of your family? You to go away with the guns, or you to stay home, protect your family still while the guns are going away? Everyone has that choice. You may have it one day.
Well, Doug, it's been a pleasure.
Bob, thank you very much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Put it down in the comment section if you like it or not, if you want to hear more of this. And stay frosty, guys. We'll see you next time. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.